Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we got another 1 minute before we start our puja. So today, who are the people involved in the puja? Yeah. Can they come forward? Yeah. Many. Anybody within that group that do puja haven't light the candle? Champi, okay, we get Champi to help us to do. Then one more, who else? Champi come. Padmasuri recommend you for lighting the incense. Then we need another person to help in the lighting of the candle. Sito, yeah, come. Because she is going to fly off tomorrow night. Yeah. Safe journey, come. Yeah. So the two ladies, come forward. So we should all rejoice with all the offering and sadhu, 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 sadhu. We should learn to rejoice more and more, have a good heart with all the generosity, the offering. The lady in Cameron, the one that introduced us to Long Po, Jumian. The incense, sadhu, 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 sadhu. It's okay. Oh, got another candle on. No? Never mind, light another one. No, never mind, it's okay, light another one. Before? Go with your candle. One more candle. No, one more. I light one more. Today, light two. Because we will light another real one. bring that. Yes. Then put the clear water in the center, the two lines at the side. Enough space, isn't it? Okay. The two lines at the side. Sito light, Sito. Sito light, open the plastic. Yeah. Open. When you make offering, you should open it up. Okay, we shall all get ready to do the puja offering. We rejoice first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can stand up. Compose your mind, develop the faith. Then, mindfully, we will start with the tray. Sito, you can start. Offer the tray, then pass it on. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Pass it on. Pass it on. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. learn to rejoice, have more and more joy and happiness within your heart. Rejoice with all the goodness, generosity, wholesomeness. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you so much for all the wholesomeness and the offering. You can now go back to your place, be seated. Then we shall commence the puja chanting. There is a chanting book. You all can turn to page 4. Then before we start the chanting, we shall pay homage to the Triple Gem. We shall recite Arahang Samma Sambuddho following the Thai tradition. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadhya, virya, then we pay respect mindfully. We will recite. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can now be seated. Then we will start the Vandana Puja chanting, page 4. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we shall chant the puja offering, Padipa puja offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena Dipena tama dangsina tilokadipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang kanda sambarayutena dupena hang suganghina dujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punena mathena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yatta idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang. Okay, turn to page 18, the last page. We will now recite the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. The significance of offering our light, offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance. Then, understanding the significance of offering water, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Understanding the significance of offering of incense, we shall make this operation, this aspiration. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, siddhi, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then sharing and transfer marriage to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will end the puja with our salutation to the Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can now be seated. Okay, today, since there are quite a number who may just came in and are still quite new, I will maybe share the importance of keeping precepts. This is something that all devotees must understand. So the Buddha, during his time, he always chanted this after he administered the precepts, so that you see the importance of keeping these precepts. Because these precepts are very important. It not only helps you to avoid all evil, do good, then later on arise the causes and conditions to train your mind, to purify your mind, to develop the appropriate wisdom, to liberate your mind so that you can become enlightened. But precept, according to the Buddha, is also the source of happiness for all beings. And precept is also the source of spiritual wealth that you can never find if you keep your precept. That's why the Buddha said, virtue protect, nothing else. And precept is your spiritual wealth, because these are the wealth that nobody can take away. You will inherit them. And precept is also the source of peacefulness of mind. The reason being, when you keep your precept, you don't violate the precept. You don't go against nature's law, the morality, the spiritual law of morality or the moral code. Then you have less hindrance of mind. When you have less problem, you have less fear, worry, anxiety, you will have less restlessness. And that is the main hindrance of mind, one of the five, but most powerful. So if you violate your precept, if you don't keep your precept, your mind is never peaceful. It will be very restless, because there is a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, and problem with you when you violate those precepts. You have to reflect and contemplate each and every precept. If you violate them, what happened? And who are the ones that violate these precepts? They are people with the evil roots of all evil. They are either deluded, full of selfishness, or full of emotional negativity. That's why they are violent people. They have a lot of selfish intention. And they are so deluded that they become so heedless in all their action, speech, and thought process. They never understood life. Because they never understand life, they don't know how to live life. That's why they dare to go against the nature's law, which is the law of karma. And the Buddha explained it very clearly under the five daily contemplation, the last one. Each and every living being, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. If karma plays such a great role in one's life, what must you do? You have to be serious about life. You have to take care of karma, otherwise your life will become miserable. That's why without keeping the precept, you cannot take care of karma. You will violate the nature's law. You will commit evil. That's why precept is very important. And when you keep your precept, it's the source of happiness, source of true spiritual wealth, and true peacefulness within your mind. That's why you can have a lot of peace, a lot of love, a lot of joy within your heart. So precept is something that you have to give a lot of emphasis on, so that you determine to keep it well, not to violate it. That's why under the Buddha's teaching in the early days, after they administer the precept, whether it's the Buddha or the monk, they will chant this. Imani, if it's eight precepts, it's Atta Sikha Padani. Or Imani Pancha Sikha Padani. So the meaning is, these are the five or eight precepts. Then they will chant, if you go to Thailand, it's very common. Silena Sukantinyanti. Silena Boga Sampada. Silena Nibutinyanti. Tasma Silang Viso De. The meaning is, precept or sila, which is virtue, is the source of happiness. And sila, which is also virtue, is also the source of true spiritual wealth. Then finally, sila, which is virtue, is the source of peacefulness of mind. Therefore, let virtue be purified and kept with understanding and resolve. So this is how you should actually understand the importance and great significance of precept. Then the Buddha will recommend that once the monk chant, or the person who administers the precept chant this, the devotee who actually pledged to renew and keep their precept, they should rejoice. So can you all rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Normally this one I will only explain in a retreat, huh? But now the condition is different. Normally people, cultivator, they can understand. So that's why the condition has a reason for this to be shared, huh? And I wanted it to be shared because it will be recorded. Yeah? So this is the first Thursday class that will have this understanding recorded, so that in future more and more cultivators will understand the great significance of precept. Then when you keep it with understanding, it becomes very different, very meaningful, and your resolve is very strong. And it will bring forth the condition for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. Because like I always explain, the Buddha emphasized on three things for you to develop good progress in meditation. First is what? Sila. Sila is precept. Then only you can cultivate Samadhi. Then the last one is what? Panya. So without Sila, your mind cannot be peaceful. That's why virtue or sila is the source of peacefulness, source of happiness. The mind that has joy, has peace, has the spiritual faculty to develop understanding of Dhamma. And because it has this spiritual faculty, it can also develop enlightenment factor, yeah, or piti and sati, yeah, and samadhi. Yeah. And the saddha, if you have very strong faith in the Buddha and his teaching through knowing who he is and how special and how wonderful his teaching is, it will drive you to cultivate. That's why you will develop the second spiritual faculty of virya. Then when you pay respect mindfully, when you develop the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness, when you have a good religious routine, your mind transforms. Sati is developed and it will stabilize and become samadhi. Then you can see things as they are. This becomes the meditative mind. That's why when you keep your precept, it's a source of peacefulness, source of happiness, source of great spiritual wealth. And sila will actually be the guiding light for all cultivation. That's why do not underestimate sila. Do not take it lightly. Yeah. This can make big difference to your life. And if you want to have good life, virtue is the highest protection according to the Buddha. Nothing else can protect you. Not even the chanting and the psychic. Yeah. But you keep your sila, you don't have to be afraid of anything. Virtue will actually protect. So this is a very important understanding. That's why tonight, hopefully, with this understanding, you can meditate better and you can build up your resolve to keep this precept seriously from now on. So I will start the meditation now. For those who are here before, you can start your meditation. We will off the light. For those who are new or who may still need instruction, you actually, there is a blue book. Where's the blue book? Ah, get me one behind here. So if you want to know more about meditation, this is the blue book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, Part 1. This is based on the 12 September 2013, Thursday class sharing. The whole book is the transcript of that day's, that night sharing. And it's very good because a lot of important understanding of meditation, they are all here together with all the good Q&A. So it can be a very important guidebook, like a blueprint for you to understand meditation so that you have the clear understanding and you're very focused. So what I will give you as a guide after this is just a very general one. If you want to understand more detail, you go back and read this one. Yeah? Okay, we will off the light. And those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. You need to train your mind. You train. If you don't need, then you just silent, relax, aware, and meditate. Okay. For those who may be new or who need instruction, I will give some simple instruction. Like I mentioned earlier on, the Buddha make it very clear. If you don't keep your sila, if you violate your sila, you will have a lot of mental hindrances, especially restlessness and doubt. Then because your mind is not trained, you will have a lot of sensual desire and ill will, and these are all hindrance. And you don't understand the importance of meditation, the significance of this teaching and training. You will be sleepy, or your mind will be lethargic, sloth and torpor will set in. And these are the five mental hindrances. They are called mental hindrances because they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness to develop the meditation. So because of that, most people find it difficult to meditate. So now that you understand, you maintain your precept well, then you train your mind to develop the spiritual faculties, which are the opposite five mental state that can help you overcome all the five mental hindrances. When the hindrances are at bay, means your spiritual faculties are already established and developed. If they are not established and developed, the hindrance will be very powerful. They will take over. So to develop meditation is very simple. You have to learn to develop spiritual faculty. Then the hindrance will be gone. Yeah. But most people may not have that ability because they seldom keep their precept. They are not serious about their precept. And they don't reflect and contemplate deep enough. They don't do the necessary puja with understanding. They don't develop the contemplative wisdom to build up the spiritual faculties through knowing who the Buddha is and how special his teaching is. They don't have the sadha and the virya that will drive them to cultivate. When virya is there, you will not be sleepy. Then your sati will develop. So the purpose of meditation here is to train our mind to develop the spiritual faculty. That's why we have the puja to help you develop the faith, develop the virya. Then we pay respect mindfully. Then when we chant with understanding and with mindfulness, the spiritual faculty of sati will be strengthened. And as you develop this type of religious routine more and more throughout the day, and you combine it with a meditative training, your mind will stabilize, sati will become samadhi. Then when there is sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. Then you develop wisdom, then your mind will develop the understanding to straighten your view. And once you are not deluded, you will have a lot of understanding. Then you will understand life clearly. You will understand the Four Noble Truths. Then you will know what suffering is, the cause behind. Then you will know how to cease it, leading to the liberated mind. Then you will have the good life. We are clear understanding of life. So all this is the purpose of meditation. So we are here to train this mind. And because, like I said, most people, they don't keep precept, they have not developed the training of the mind. So you need to develop some basic technique or skill to decondition your heedless thinking that has been so habitual throughout the day, because you are hardly mindful throughout the day, except those who have developed understanding of the Dhamma and kept the practice well, the training well. Otherwise, you need to do this mind-sweeping method to help decondition your heedless thinking. So I will give you some brief instruction on how to decondition your heedless thinking mind to develop the spiritual faculty of silent, which is the silent mind, sati. We will use this skillful means called mind sweeping method. You just relax body and mind completely. Then make sure your backbone is straight. Then breathe in, breathe out normally. Silence your mind. Maintain attention at your forehead. Just feel, don't think, feel. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax, relax, and relax every part within your forehead. Then you move on to your eye muscle. Do the same, feel, relax. No more thinking, just feel, relax. Your facial muscle, do the same, sweep it down slowly. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then try to read it, a radiant smile. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy. When there is joy, you are in a happy and peaceful state. Your mind will be very relaxed. Then after that, you can combine with loving kindness or metta to develop inner well-being within your body and mind. When you calm your mind down using well mind sweeping method, you will have inner peace. Then inner peace with metta will lead to inner well-being. These are the first two benefits of training the mind or developing meditation. For most people, inner peace are difficult to come by, and inner well-being are even more difficult. So you can have inner peace and inner well-being, you will have a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of stillness, a lot of peacefulness. That's why this will enhance your mind state, which you have developed through keeping your precept. Then through meditation, you will stabilize it and make it more stable. You can read it following my instruction, starting with yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy, free from enmity, free from ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. As you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, you must maintain attention and awareness of your body and mind. Then when you read it, be well and happy, you must feel every cells within your physical body and every mind state within your being having this well-being and happiness. Then you can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the great well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being, each and every cells within your physical. This will bring about healthy cell, good energy field, positive energy field of inner well-being, inner peace. And this will build up your immune system, can help you to recover from whatever disease or sickness or even unhappy state of mind, especially those who have depression and other things, you can recover. Your mind state will become beautiful because the inner peace and inner well-being will actually help you in many ways. Not only boost your immune system, develop the peacefulness type of vibration and energy that make you very calm, very peaceful and very happy. For the first time in your life, most of you who are not able to develop this type of peace, it will come to you and you can feel the big difference between the agitated mind, the restless, and the mind that is throughout the day having a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, that is never peaceful, the restless mind, the mind that is ever chasing after things, worrying about things, doing a lot of daily activity that are not beneficial to the spiritual development and training. So this is the best way to recuperate your mind, to develop the inner well-being and the inner peace, so that you can recharge your body and mind, so that you can actually recover and heal. Then you can continue with this metta. May I, this body and mind of mine, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. So feel yourself physically without suffering, mentally without suffering. May there be peace, may there be love, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, all Kayanamitas together with your loved ones, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and on trouble, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can continue with this metta. May all beings within the whole of Subangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, planet, then the whole of our solar system, then our galaxy, our Milky Way, then the whole of this universe, may all beings within the entire existence too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. Just feel relaxed. Then move your attention down to your neck, feel relaxed. Shoulder, hand, do the same. Just feel them and relax them. Then back to shoulder. Then you move your attention down to your heart or your chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where the heartbeat arises and passes away. This is the seat of consciousness. This is where your life force arises and passes away. So you just silence your mind, relax, and just feel. You can detect any vibration or any heartbeat. You just silence your mind and stay with it. If you have not developed the training of the mind, if your mind is not sensitive enough, you don't have the mindfulness to have the ability to do it, then you can just feel like you feel your forehead. Then you just relax every part of your heart or chest muscle. Feel it soothingly relaxed. Then you sweep it down to your stomach, feel relaxed. To your abdomen, do the same, silent and feel relaxed. Buttock, do the same, feel relaxed. Leg, feel relaxed. Then you can reverse the whole mind sweeping method from the leg up to the buttock, then to your abdomen, just feel and relax. Then stomach, chest area, do the same, feel relax. Then shoulder, neck, back to shoulder, and then facial muscle, eye muscle, feel relax. Then forehead. By now, you should have more calmness. Your thinking should be much, much less, and you will feel very calm, very peaceful. This is how the mind sweeping method can help you. You can train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead to feel, it will stay there. At the heart, it will stay there. Wherever you direct the mind, it is trained. And you want it to feel, no more thinking. That's why it will decondition your heedless thinking. Then you become more calm. And this is the meditative mind that can actually become peaceful. Then you need to stabilize this quiet mind or silent mind. So now you can move on to the next skillful mind. If you don't have any object of meditation that can help you to stabilize this mindfulness, then you can use anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath that the Buddha has taught. Just like you feel your forehead, now you silence your mind and feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just silent, then feel. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the awareness is aware. Then breathing out, again the awareness is aware. So breathing in aware, breathing out aware. The meaning is the breath and the mindfulness, they move as one without thought. That is sati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapana sati is training the mind to be mindful of this in and out breath without thought. Then you will become very quiet, very peaceful, very calm. Then as you train, you become more skillful, you will stabilize. Then piti will arise, spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture, or spiritual joy. Once the mind is mindful, doesn't wander off, not lost in thought, it will become peaceful, and that piti will arise. For those who are new, split second, the sati or mindfulness will be gone. Your mind will be lost in thought. You're hardly aware of your breathing. But don't worry, be patient. Every time it wanders off, maintain attention at the breathing. Sooner or later, after a while, you will be able to develop an anapanasati. Your mindfulness on the in and out breath will be established. This is how you train. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Then for those who already train, you continue to relax your body and mind into whatever mind state that arises. Even when piti arises, sukha, or very refined type of energy feel, calmness, you just relax into it and silent and allow the mind to be. Your breath will transform. As you become more and more peaceful, more and more calm, it will accumulate into long breath. Then piti can become sukha. Sukha is spiritual bliss, much, much more refined than piti. Then after this spiritual bliss or sukha arises, you can continue to relax and silent. Then the breath, which is the long breath, will start to slow down. After some time, it becomes more and more quiet, more and more subtle. Yeah. Then even this spiritual bliss will be gone. Sukha will transform into what they call pasati. Pasati is the silent mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the meditative mind. And this is the mind that you need to develop meditation, understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. Then you will be able to develop the understanding when the silent mind is able to pick up all of the activity that arises within your form and mind. As a human being, we have 5 physical senses and the mind as the 6th sensor. Upon contact with external sense data, their respective consciousness will arise. Then the mind will latches onto it and input the content. Then according to your conditioning, your views and your opinion, the mind will stir and react. And that is how you get yourself into trouble. That is how you entangle your own mind. Via delusion, you grasp and you cling, you stir your mind. And you will see all of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach within your own form and mind. The Four Noble Truths, the Three Evil Roots, the Five Spiritual Faculty and Hindrance, the Seven Factors of Enlightenment, Dependent Origination, everything will arise and pass away within your own form and mind. Then with a stable mindfulness, you can understand all this. Okay, after that, you can continue with this style of training and develop the silent mind to meditate. I will end here. Then I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes. Okay. Produces still 1 minute, you can continue. Produces enough. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Now we will continue with our invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. I will read the English translation. Then after that, we will get Sister Ingby to help us. Where's the godless Maya? Okay. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and relays Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammang Munirajas Sunantu Saggamokkhadang Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Vichacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavid Anuttaro Puraisa Dhammasarati Satta Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Upanayiko Pachatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari sayokane Atta purisa pukala Esa Bhagavato Saukasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo อนุตรังปุญญังเกตังโลกาสาธิสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค we shall now pay homage to the Triple Gem compose your mind develop the faith then mindfully we shallRecite Buddhang Pujjhemi Dhammang Pujjhemi Sanghang Pujjhemi Okay, now you can be seated. Now we can start our second session. Huh? Second session is meditation, reporting, followed by question and answer, Q&A. You can ask whatever question that is related to meditation, the Dhamma, which is the teaching of the Buddha, and how you can apply what you have learned here in the Buddha Dhamma to help you develop the understanding of life so that you can help.To develop the understanding to overcome whatever problem that you confront in life. Okay, make full use of this condition or opportunity. Now I will open it up. Anybody got any meditation reporting? You can put up your hand or raise your hand. Anybody? Again, quiet. Yeah, somebody at the back, is it? Oh, no. She was, yeah, Pastor Susan. Yeah, can. Pass the mic to Susan. Yeah. Thank you, yeah. Yeah, sadhu.
Hello. Evening, yes. Brother Teo and all brothers and sisters of the Dhamma.
Good evening, yes.
Brother Teo, can I ask about...lying meditation?
Yeah, no problem. Lying down meditation is very good. Yeah, you can ask. No problem.
Ritu, while lying down,
yes,
I was aware, after a while, I was aware of the body.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was... awareness on, I don't know if I can call it the mind
worry.
Body.
It's okay. You just describe the way you understand it.
A layer of the body.
Yes.
Like lying on the physical body.
Yes. There is a vibration like energy. That is your feeling body. Mm-hmm. They call it the etheric body.You can feel it on. There's a like an envelope of energy. When you are very mindful and very silent, you can feel. Sometimes it expands on. It can move on. There's an energy that envelope your entire physical. You can feel that it's very good. Means your mind is silent enough. That's why you need to be very quiet, very still and very silent. Then you can feel.Because our entire body is vibration. That's why sometimes people, those who do what they call their Reiki. Those people like to use energy. Then they like to see your aura. Then they like to what they call test, see.How deep your aura is. Those are not meditation. Those are not important. But as you go through this mindfulness training, you can come to understand clearly who are you, what are you, what is this form of mind all about. because within it there is this consciousness, there is this life force energy coming from your karmic nature. That's why you have this karmic force that pump your heart. Then you have the consciousness that is already there since birth. Then this one actually develop over time. Then depending on your meditation, how you are able to nourish it, how you are able to actually develop it. But a lot of people develop it through energy field. They use their life force and focus and concentrate. They try to play with their chakra and all those things, the third eye, their heart chakra. Then those who do Qigong and other type of meditation, Kundalini, they go to Tan Tien there. And these are the people who actually, if you do not have the right understanding, if you use external mental, or they call it the thought energy, to actually so-called, in their own words and term, they say opening chakra. Oh, that is no opening. To me, that is tampering with the chakra. When you use thought energy, you have to be careful. Before you become enlightened, you have delusion. So your thought has yin and yang. You know what is yin and yang? Not balanced, positive, negative. So these are not pure energy. So when you use it to actually so-called focus and concentrate and develop, you think it's opening chakra, but actually it's tempering, prematurely tempering with it. Then what happens is the sudden release of this energy can actually give rise to a lot of what they call interference. Then when the yin-yang is imbalanced, if you are not skillful, you don't have a good teacher or a good guide, then this type of what they call energy field can bring about complication and problem. That's why a lot of cultivator and meditator get into trouble is because of that. But this only happened to thought-based meditation who use concentration, one-pointedness, absorption, jhana and all those things. And when you play with that, the mara, they can know and they have power over you because they also thought-based. They are more powerful than you. They are born in that rhyme. They are called mara. That's why they can actually come and disturb you. So it depends how you develop your meditation. That's why the safest is follow the Buddha's way. That's why after Anapanasati, he said, go to four posture, daily mindfulness, then sati sampajana. Then just investigate the four foundation after that. Yeah. Of course, the first foundation, kaya nupasana, got six category of practices. But all these are not energy field. You go and check. Anapanasati is actually training the mind to be mindful. That's why it's called Anapanasati. The Buddha never asked you to focus on the breath, concentrate on the breath, develop one-pointedness or absorption on the breath. He just say, train your mind to be mindful, to be aware. That's why sati. After you have developed sati of the in and out breath, then you use it to develop sati of your four posture. Means life itself, you must have mindfulness. Then after that, you develop the third category of practice visage, sati sampajana. Mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment. This will connect all your four posture, the intermittent activity and action while you move around in life, while you act, move and speak and arise your thought within life. You must be heedful. You must train your mind to have mindfulness. And that is what meditation is all about. mindfulness in daily life, you have to be very stable until you are fully aware or heedful throughout the day. Then after that, you will develop the initial wisdom to see things as they are, to see form, the unreality of form. Then through the silent mind, mindfulness, you will penetrate and see beyond form. Then you will go into mind, the aggregates of mind, the other foundation of feeling. Then content of consciousness, which is citta, vedana nupassana, citta nupassana, then dhamma nupassana. These are all mind-field aggregates. So as you move into feeling, you're supposed to be mindful and how feeling get conditioned into the hindrance, into evil roots. This is how mindfulness can allow you to see clearly that you lack wisdom, you lack yoniso manasikara. That's why the mind stir, get conditioned into all this emotion, mind state. That's why upon contact, feeling arise, vedana. But when feeling arise, it cannot remain as pure feeling. Feeling, condition, craving. Craving, positive, negative. Of course, you also call the third one neutral feeling. Positive is pleasant feeling. Negative is unpleasant feeling. They are hindrance of mind, sensual desire, you will. They are part of the evil roots of greed and hatred. So this movement is born of ignorance. Without ignorance, when there is wisdom, yoniso manasikara, at the moment of sense experience, feeling will remain as pure feeling. That's why the enlightened being, the arahant, the aggregates are pure aggregate, non-grasping. But feeling, when there is no wisdom, when panya is not developed, when there is no yoniso manasikara or wise attention at the moment of sense contact, then feeling is conditioned into craving. So craving is born of grasping, clinging, delusion, sakayadity. So that's how the dependent origination move. Then craving or condition grasping. Then grasping will condition becoming. So that's how the whole dependent origination move. Then it will lead to the whole mess of suffering. So the whole of meditation is to see all this clearly. When you have this sati, you are able to see clearly all of your content of consciousness, all of feeling, all of the five aggregate of form, feeling, activity of mind. Then you got your perception and your consciousness. All this mind aggregate, you will see them very clearly. Then as you see them, you will be able to insight into their characteristic. Then you realize that they are impermanent. The moment you grasp and cling and hold through delusion, sakayadity, suffering will arise. And because they are impermanent, lead to suffering. It's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling onto and hold onto and say, this is I, this is mine, and all this can be mine. That's why it's non-self, anatta. So when you break through with this initial wisdom, then you will understand the impermanence of all physical form, all feeling that arise, all mind state that arise, all of consciousness and its content. They are impermanent, leading to suffering. So when you develop the type of wisdom, the fourth foundation will arise, Dhamma Nupassana. You will break through all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach. First category of cultivation within Dhamma Nupassana is mindfulness of the five hindrances. You must understand that they are hindrances that will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, developing the inner calmness, inner mindfulness and awareness to meditate. So when you are silent and aware, this Dhamma will arise. Then you will come to know how the unarisen hindrance come to be. Then when you continue to meditate in silence, you will see how the arisen hindrance cease to be. And then when you know how it arises and how it ceases, you will know how to develop the wisdom to straighten your view, so that in future, the hindrance will not arise anymore. Similarly, the five aggregate of form and mind, you will see them very clearly, their characteristics. Then after that, you will be able to trace the origination factor, how all these factors come to be when there is condition for consciousness to arise. When the eye see color, shape and form, upon contact seeing consciousness arise, how within that seeing consciousness, because of your wrong view, your delusion and your ignorance, how your mind stir, and how you grasp and how you cling, how you hold, how the factors arise through contact, through delusion, then you will come to know how the unarisen factors come to be. Then retrospectively, when you see it disappearing, because being impermanent, when you silent long enough, it will cease to be. Then you will start to understand how the arisen factors cease to be. Then when you know how they arise and how they cease, you can develop wisdom to retrospectively straighten your view so that in future, the unarisen factors will not arise anymore. That's how you free. Then after that, with that wisdom, your enlightenment factor will keep on arising. That's why the fourth category of practice or cultivation under Dhammanupassana is to be mindful of the seven factors of enlightenment. Then you start to understand how the seven factors of enlightenment are all linked as per the Buddha's teaching. Then how when they are there, they can actually bring about enlightenment. That's how after that, you will move on to the last category of cultivation, which is mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. You have to turn the Four Noble Truths three times, the three turning. Develop the three types of corresponding wisdom. Then you liberate and you awaken. So this is how the whole practice come about. So when it comes to lying down meditation, because according to the teaching of Theravada, very little is been mentioned about lying down meditation. The only time you see the Buddha in the lying posture is when? Before his parinibbana. How does he lie down? With one hand like that. The heart, the left hand side, exposed to the, what they call, the upper surface. Because our heart, the gateway is slightly towards the left. That's why you lie on your left, you will block. That's why he lie this way. And he know how to optimize our earth magnetic field. He know how to align his body. That's why the direction he sleep, he will know. My wife also will know. Sometimes I just change direction on the bed. Because I know the magnetic field is against. That's why certain direction, certain posture, you must know how to actually feel them and you align to them. Then when it's aligned, everything is in harmony. So all these are meditative understanding that you develop on your own. You have to discover them. You have to investigate into them. Before I answer your question further, that brings me another important thing that I need to let you all know. It may appear very simple and not important. You all use Brother Sui An and before pilot downstairs before. You realize one thing or not? If you shut the tap, it will drip. Then how come other people, they shut, it don't drip? Why every time you shut, you drip? How many of you don't know the answer? You know the tap is okay, you know. It can stop dripping. But because you don't understand, because you don't investigate, you are conditioned to do things. Every time you think you close the tap, you must close it full. That is your problem. You never investigate. You close it full, it will leak. Here, this is a special tap. The secret is, you test, you investigate, you reverse a little bit. It stopped. Oh, see? No problem, actually. But you don't understand. Here, Brother Suyan and me, for why do you want to call a plumber Gautin? You never find out. That's why. Then I saw they put the what you call it, the pill. The one that scoop water. They put the plastic. I don't know what you call that. Yeah? Huh? Dipper, I don't know. They put there to collect water. I mean, you can, but if they go over, see how. So how the water will be dripping. But they have actually noticed the problem. And next time you go down, find out, investigate. That's a dhamma is like that. Don't assume. Not everything is the same. Different type is different. Different house different. Different people also different. Karma different. Condition different. Everything different. So meditation is not rigid. Wisdom is not rigid. Because everything is in a state of flux, condition arising. And nothing is the same. Nothing remains constant. Everything is in a state of flux. That's why you don't have mindfulness, you don't have wisdom, you don't have understanding, you cannot cope with life. Every moment and every instant, life arises and passes away. Every phenomenon in this world is like that. They are impermanent, in a state of flux, ever moving. So if you don't have wisdom and sensitivity, how can you understand life? Nothing is static. And there are so many of these very complex nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why you need wisdom, penetrative understanding to understand all this. What I want to emphasize is, don't believe, like the Buddha said, investigate into everything and find out. And these are very simple things. Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you aware and realize it? That's why those who can see, they will always see. Because truth is everywhere in the midst of life and existence and nature. What are truth? Truth are realities that exhibit from every phenomena. So the universal characteristic that is prevalence in all of phenomena in this world. They are impermanent, suffering state and non-self, anicchang, dukkang, anatta. These are the reality, the truth of all inherent phenomena in the conditioned world. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see because they are everywhere. But because you are heedless, most of the living beings, they don't cultivate, they are not heedful, they are not silent, that's why they never see. They are busy thinking, worrying, doing all the planning. That's why too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life, so much so they never leave. Because they don't even have a moment to silent, to be with the moment, to experience and live life. They think a lot, they are so heedless. So without Dhamma, without the understanding of Dhamma, you don't know how to train your mind, you don't know how to be heedful. And the moment you lack heedfulness, the Buddha mentioned very clearly under the teaching, Dhammapada verse 21. Heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So spiritually, you are dead. So meditation is about heedfulness, train the mind to be heedful. That's why lying down meditation is a very good way to develop heedfulness, to stabilize your meditation. But you can only do it when you have trained your mind, when you have stabilized your sati, when you can feel your breathing, when you can feel your heartbeat or any vibration within your body without using stethoscope or anything. And then only you can develop lying down meditation. So lying down meditation is very simple. Eh? So I come back to the question now. So just now Susan asked, the one that you feel on, you can feel is good, but that is not the real important thing. These are part and parcel of silent meditation. And you will experience them all. All this will come within your field of awareness or sati when you are silent. But more important is, how do you do that lying down meditation? How do you start? You have to determine that you want to maintain heedfulness throughout the day. You want to stabilize this mindfulness throughout the day. That's why you want to do it in four posture. So at any posture, you must be aware. Aware is very simple. The moment you are silent without thought, you're already aware. Understand? So don't try to be aware. But the thought that try is active. Cannot be aware. You just maintain attention, silent. Then when you want to go to the bed, yeah, before you sleep. A very good religious routine is, I always say, yeah, you pay homage, you do a simple puja. Understand? Can be 5 minutes or 10 minutes, up to you. You want to add in some loving kindness, metta meditation, transfer merit, maybe 10 to 15 minutes. You can do it. Then you can go and lie down and do your meditation. Yeah. Initially, what I do during the early day was, before I start this lying down, because I need to train, so I will just do the meditation before I sleep, when I wake up, and in between, whenever I have time. Then the rest of the day, I will maintain daily mindfulness. That's how the meditation take off and progress very fast. Then as I develop the understanding, when my meditation become very stable, when my daily mindfulness become very stable, then I realize I can do the lying down meditation. So lying down meditation will be very simple when you already have the spiritual faculty, when you're already mindful. So first thing you do is, even after your puja that time, before you sleep, you can cut short. You don't need to do like last time so long. Yeah? All the chanting, everything. You just silence your mind. Because straight away, the spiritual faculty in the sitting posture, you go into stillness very fast. Then after 5 minutes or 10 minutes of silence or meditation, then you can relax and radiate metta. Transfer merit, share merit with all the devas and all the whatever. Then after that, you mindfully pay respect triple jam again. Before you start, you pay respect triple jam. You want to chant salutation, you chant. Then you pay respect again after the meditation and sharing of merits. Then after that, be mindful of every action and movement as you come out. Then how you move to the bed, body and mind as one without thought. Then how you lie down. Then how your body actually touch the thing. Then the moment you're on the lying down posture, you must have attention on your posture. That's why the Buddha said, lying down, aware. Aware means what? Just attentive, silent. Maintain awareness of the body. Then after that, relax. The four support, very important. The key support is always remember, relax. This relax is very, very deep in meaning. Relax into every mind state that arises. Whatever mind state that arises, you have to relax into it. Whether piti, sukha, tension or whatever, you just relax into it. Both body and mind must be completely relaxed. Then as you relax, you're silent. Don't think. Then because you have trained your mind, you can have the awareness to be aware of your heartbeat. You're just around there, silent, and just feel. Like you feel your forehead feel. The awareness will detect. Don't go and look for it. You're just silent, relax. It will come. Then when you feel it, you continue to relax and silent, be with it. Then you realize when you are aware there, there is no thought. stabilize that one first. That's enough. Don't try to know other things. That's why I don't try to know. The key is relax and maintain awareness. That's why it's 24 hours. Yeah? When you maintain awareness. It will lead to the 24-hour stability of mindfulness. You just do this. Then most important thing is, don't try to know. Because all of this is thought. Understand? The thought wants to know. The thought wants to develop the Dhamma understanding. The thought want to find out. So when you don't try to know, you actually develop more and more silent. Because the real understanding is the silent mind awakens. The meditative mind is a silent mind. The silent mind will understand and it will awaken. The phenomena will tell you the story. But when you are silent, you will know how you function as a human being. How the six sense door operate. How it conditions your mind to react. How your wrong view and all. You will see them all. That's why if you are not silent enough, you cannot understand, you cannot see. So when you meditate in whatever posture, even in your sitting or what, or daily mindfulness, don't try to know. But when you reflect and contemplate, you inquire, as the understanding come out, that one, because you are doing the second turning, that one, there is some form of thought involved. So that one, the understanding will come. But it will be like suddenly you understand. It's not from the thought. All of a sudden, that creative, contemplative mind just understand. Then when that one arises, then you can start to reflect deeper, means allow the thought to arise through that arising of that mindfulness, where it's an inquiry. Then through the understanding, it will know how to develop further contemplation and understand. So during that time, there is some form of thinking, but it's very slow. It's very creative. It's not the heedless thinking. It's not the normal type of active thinking. It's an inquiry that recollect through the memory of what happened during that whatever inquiry that you make, like birth is suffering. Why did the Buddha say that? Then you reflect and inquire. Then you will come to recollect through your memory and life experience what birth is all about. Everything that you have seen, experienced and read about and witnessed. And then as this one surfaces, because you are not thinking, as the recollection come out through your experience or memory, then there is this, what they call, creative understanding that will arise, because you are very mindful of this recollection. That as you recall them mindfully, then suddenly the understanding will unfold. Then you are like, no wonder the Buddha say, birth is suffering. Where you start to see, you are more sensitive now, you are more aware now. Last time you take for granted, understand? Oh, my wife say, wow, not easy, over, because they really suffer inside there. And they experience that through what? Not through mindfulness. That's why they know it's very, very difficult and a lot of suffering. But as they later on reflect, contemplate and inquire, they will understand faster because they go through it. Whereas men, if you are observant, you will also understand. Because sometimes you can see through video and all those things. Then sometimes you witness your birth, your own children's birth. Yeah? You are in the whatever room. You will understand them. So the real form of meditation, when you are silent, you don't try to know. When you reflect and contemplate also, actually you don't try to know. But the understanding will come. Yeah. But that one is more gradual. Yeah. Whereas the third turning, Bhavanam Ayapanya, is a direct seeing that awaken straight away the silent mind. Then when the silent mind awaken, it's just like in your deep meditation, when you are lying down, you're silent, you will understand everything while you are in that silent state. Then after you come out, you can reflect and contemplate on what happened. And then the Dhamma will fall into place. Then you will start to understand them. The last one is trust. Trust means no interference from the thought. You trust your nature. That's why whatever movement inside here, when you connect to your heartbeat, you can be aware of your heartbeat. You have to be patient. You have to maintain awareness until this one becomes very quiet, very still, and very silent, until no movement. Then you enter the silent mind capacity. Then you are connected to this true mind, the true nature. Then without thought, you can see things as they are. You can understand things very clearly. Then the best meditative advice is assume you are dead. Dead means what? Dead man cannot think. Dead man cannot react. Itchiness also cannot do anything. You try. Then you see how that craving build up. Then how your mind condition you. Hey, get up already. This is boring. Then you tell yourself, I am dead. All this cannot be happening because I am not dead. That's why you have to silence until like you are dead. Then let the consciousness do. That is trust. Then finally, the real movement is without thought, without anything to direct, because the mind is silent. And when you touch that point, the gateway, all of your yin-yang energy will melt inside and become pure energy. And that movement is the real movement. That is the real meditation. That one will open whatever so-called chakra and nadi within your internal body and mind naturally, without any tempering, no thought to direct it. It happened by itself through the movement of that nature, which is already intelligent, wise. And that is from the pure energy that don't have duality. So this is the ultimate meditation. But don't try to understand it now. Not until your mind can be completely silent. Yeah. But this is important for people who already have the ability to understand. As they cultivate, not long, they will hit this. Yeah. There are some. Then also for the higher beings. Yeah. So this type of lying down meditation is not normal. Very few people can do, because when I was in Thailand, actually we were quite surprised. Because those who follow me there at that time, we were our partner Nachat. So we have good affinity, I think, that time. If I'm not wrong, quite a number of kilometers were there. We met Sri Panyo, remember? Sri Panyo, Ananda Krishnan's son. He took us around, and he was so kind. Then after he took us around, we had some Dhamma sharing from him, and together we discussed quite a bit. Then he asked us whether we want to join them at the sala for the evening chanting and meditation and all things. But before that, he got some time, so he took us there. So supposed to have some sharing, that meditation. So when we were there, after the sharing, you're supposed to meditate. Then somebody put out a hand and asked, Achan, can we do lying down meditation? Well, he very wise, so he never reject, you know, he just smiled. He said, can, but not in the sala, not so nice, is it? You want to do, you go back to your kuti or the place you sleep and do. You hear people may not understand you. Then you know what he said or not? You can do lying down meditation. You must be a real cultivator. Oh, that's why they understand. Most people sleep. The moment you lie down, sleep. If you can maintain sati or awareness in the lying down posture, means you have heedfulness, otherwise you cannot. So don't be too eager to do lying down meditation. Just because Brother Teo said, oh, I can do that, means I progress. You go and do lah. You're wasting your time, I tell you. Understand? Unless you are ready. That's why I say stage one, pariyatti. The learning or the teaching or the doctrine, very important. Make sure you understand it clearly. Then read this book. Then when you understand, you meditate, you progress very fast. Otherwise, I tell you, you can be repeating what you do without understanding for 30, 40 years, life after life. Trapped in thought-based meditation, you hardly progress. You hardly transform. You may develop some calmness, peacefulness, then some merits. Apart from that, the real wisdom still far away. You may have a lot of Dhamma knowledge, but the real penetrative understanding and wisdom, most of the time is not there. So when you start to understand clearly through pariyatti, the real teaching of the Buddha, why he stressed on heedfulness, and when you understand what is heedfulness, then your focus is very clear. You train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, just like what we did last Thursday. Heedfulness is ever mindful to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. And together, it is heedfulness or Appamada. So, ever mindful in the midst of life, not only when you cross your leg or in the retreat. You cannot be heedful and mindful in the midst of life. You are heedless. And the heedless are as if dead. That's why I put here, Appamada, heedfulness, most important. If you come for meditation, you don't train your mind to be ever mindful, stabilize it and do the meditation, you are not heedful. If you are not heedful, spiritually, you are as if dead. That's why the heedless are as if dead. And this is so clear. So if you don't train your mind to be ever mindful, sati, stabilizing it to become samadhi, panya, wisdom, can never arise. So now you clear that. Yeah? Clear that. Remember this. So that every time you meditate, you ask yourself, am I training my mind to be ever mindful? If it's already trained, then I can meditate. Can you do it in the midst of life? That's why formal meditation is to train. Then you understand why people give you method and technique. Understand that? So method and techniques are skillful means to initially anchor the mind and train the mind. But you must apply them with understanding, the right understanding. That's why you need to start with mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking. Do it. These are very important. Understand? So now you know where to go. So don't be too concerned with phenomena, with what happened in meditation. Just train the mind to be silent. These are important support for what they call awareness-based meditation. This word is missing. This is not thought-based. Awareness-based meditation. Thought-based don't have this. They may have relaxed, but they don't maintain awareness. Where the thought cannot be aware, understand not? Can I understand not? The thought can never be aware. The thought can only think and create. That's why it has a lot of dhamma, a lot of story. That's why thought-based meditation, they only at the first support. But very few people know this. Relax. Because it's very deep and very penetrative and very important. You cannot relax means what? Your body and mind got stress, Karena. That's why you're not peaceful, you're not relaxed. The moment you got stress, you got delusion, you got suffering. That's why learn to relax. When you can relax into every state, you have understanding. You can be at peace. If you cannot be at peace everything you want in your way, then how to meditate? And so you meditate to develop calmness. Every time no calmness, you get unhappy. Then you change your method, technique. Then you go for other type of teacher and method and technique. Or then calm again, peaceful again. Or you say this is better than that one. Actually, they are still thought-based. Maybe go to a better prison, but still a prisoner. Then more luxurious prisoners. But end of the day, it's still a prison because it does not liberate you, it does not transcend thought. So, relax, remember, the focus is relax. Then, silent, maintain awareness. Then, make it very stable, don't try to know. Then, the understanding will come by itself. The meditation will stabilize by itself. Okay. Did I answer your question? You got anything to add? You can ask. While I take a break, I need a drink. Then I need to go washroom because just now I was drinking a lot of Chinese tea with Silun. Because I took him to that restaurant. Then we drink a lot of Chinese tea. Never mind, you prepare your question. I have a drink. Then I go to the washroom. Then I come back. Okay, yeah. Susan, you can continue. You got any more questions? No more. Yeah. You can ask, no problem.
In the sitting can I ask about
no problem.
The awareness?
You can. No problem.
I think it's the elements.
It's okay.
The apple, the wire.
I know the four elements. How do you see?
Four. I mean, I'm aware.
How do you feel it? How do you feel?
There's heat.
Okay, heat is very common.
Sweat.
Yes.
And there's movement in the
I know the whatever vibration.
Yeah, whatever vibration that there is.
Then Patavi.
Patavi.
The earth element.
Not so much, but.
No, it's the solidity.
Yeah.
Solidity can be any part within your form.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I feel funny, you know, a lot of meditators interested in the four elements, they thought they can see the four elements, they see the number. So they never inquire, you know, what is the purpose of seeing all this? What is the purpose of seeing all this? Yeah. Yeah, but apart from the characteristic, because like apple, you say sweat, even your saliva, they are everywhere, understand? No? They don't really actually come and go. It's not like thought arise and pass away, feeling arise and pass away. The four elements, as long as you are alive, they are always there. Very active. The wayo, the wind element, everywhere they are, in a state of flux non-stop, even heartbeat, everywhere. Then heat. Without heat, you die, understand? They are everywhere. Of course, you see and perceive the difference. If you do energy field, sometimes hot, sometimes cold. You are in an aircon room, you don't feel heat. You are at Wu Ping Jing Se, you feel heat. Then if you are Cameron, no heat. Most of the time, very cooling. But sometimes you silent, the heat build up. And sometimes you silent and relax, no heat build up. Why? Because there is a deep, there is balance of yin and yang. Then when you silent, the reason why it doesn't build up is because when you silent, even in a very cold weather condition or country, what happened? When you silent, what happened? Completely silent, the more you will not feel cold. You know why? The secret is very simple. No psychic, no magic. Well, I did it before. I was in Australia. I remember that time. -6 degrees. Went out to meditate. Relax, silent. I don't feel cold. But don't try to be a hero. You know why? When you are still and don't move, your body temperature is what? Yeah? 98.4, 37.4. So, how many of you have been into sauna? Most of you have been to sauna. You must go into the hot sauna. Not the steam one. The what they call not jacko. No, with the hot water one, the hot spring one. That one in Japan a lot. Here also they have. And the temperature is 40 over to 50 degrees one. It's actually quite hot one. So you touch with your hand, it will be quite hot, but bearable, but hot. And you know how people can go in? You know how to relax in a hot spring. It's so beautiful, so relaxing. You know, I went to Japan, they took me there in the Suja. So it was near Hakone, Mount Fuji. So that Japan got this culture. You go in, you must be naked one. Then everybody also naked on, just go into the same pool. Then initially, I can feel the heat. Then I know what to do, I just walk in. Of course, there is this burning sensation because you move through the water. Then I just relax, silent, then I sat. The moment I sat and silent, the temperature stabilized. You know why? Because I don't move. And when I don't move, what happens? My body temperature will mesh with the layer of whatever water that is on my skin. Understand? That one also become 98.4. That's why you can stay at that temperature. but don't play with boiling water. Boiling water you'll go through, but because it's a few degrees or about 10 over degrees more, it's not a problem. Then you silent and relax. As long as you don't move, you realize that temperature and your body temperature remain the same. That's why there is no more heat. It no more build up. But the moment you move, you can feel that that layer gone. Then the external body of water, they will heat you up. So in a cool temperature country, also same. You silent, relax, and just silent and aware. Then this layer of very cold air, because there is no movement, reach to you, very silent, it will reach your body temperature. Yeah. Then it will not go in. Yeah. Of course, unless the wind blow, snow, and sort of thing, then you cannot. That's why you need something to cover you. Understand not? Understand not? When you go into a shelter, then you realize without the wind, much more bearable. Then you know how to relax and silent. You will gain back your body temperature. So whatever the state or situation outside is, just like the Zen, or my teacher say, if inside your mind is okay, outside no problem. If inside not okay, complain a lot. Outside big problem. So you have to understand there are situations where you have to endure, you have to endure. You got no choice. Not to say you really got no choice, you got two choices. React and become miserable. Or accept, be at peace. That is a better choice than that. So meditation is about developing the understanding to be at peace. That's why Sabbasavaksutta says, you need to endure, you endure the weather, the condition, whatever, because this is the reality. So if you really need to find ways to overcome the harsh situation or condition, then you can try your best. But if there is none, you need to endure, you need to endure. Otherwise, you become afflicted, miserable. So Dhamma is like that. Yeah. So the four elements to me, the basic understanding is you must penetrate the initial wisdom. Then only the four elements got meaning. You see, you read the sutta. Actually, the Buddha make it very clear. He used to know what type of analogy, and then he break them into four. You go and read the sutta, it's like how they actually separate this four. It is to tell you about this body, anasana. That is make out all the four elements. That's why to me they are everywhere. Element means what? Go the way of nature. No knowing cannot be you. That is the real understanding that the Buddha want you to develop. So when you have this understanding, you will understand the five daily contemplation. Why the Buddha say this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. That's why when you develop the initial wisdom, the characteristics of nature means anicca, dukkha, anatta, all phenomena. Then when you see them meditate, they say after that only you go into four elements. Then you realize this body, the four elements is everywhere. There is nothing that says you will come and go. It's impermanent, yes. When the life force no more, the four elements disperse. That's why the last contemplation is what? The 973 decomposition. When the body is devoid of consciousness, then it will go the way of nature, you will decompose. So first thing first is, when your breath stops, what happens? When the moment of death, what happens? What are the elements that are affected? Huh? The doctor come and test, no more heartbeat. Understand? No? No more heartbeat means what? The wind element is gone. Means what? The life force, the karmic force that support that condition cease to be. That's why it is condition arising. When the karmic force is no more, like destructive karma come, no longer support, then the heart cannot beat. Then when the heart cannot beat, it cannot pound. The blood cannot flow. It cannot nourish the organ. Consciousness cannot stay. It has to separate. That's why you call death. Nothing die. It's just separation of consciousness from the physical. Because the physical, one of the elements is gone. Wind. So when wind is gone, there's no life force. There is no pulsation. There is no heartbeat, nothing. That's how you understand the four elements. Then after that, you move in. Because there is no more life force to maintain the heat. Then what happened? That's why the dead body, after a while, you go and feel. What happened? Oh, why cold? Because the heat element, it get dispersed. Then what happened to the water element? It will collapse. Then, actually, before you die, when there is no more life force, your muscle all gone, because there is no more power, no more energy to grip and to hold. The stool come out first, then the urine, everything. Then later on, you see all these water elements oozing out. They go the way of nature. Then the earth element collapse. And what happened is, when you don't know how to die, you know what happened? This four element can actually create hell over you. That's why at the moment of death, when the consciousness is still trapped inside, before it fully come out, about to die that time, when the four elements start to break down, actually in the Mahayana teaching and some of the Tibetan teaching on the Book of Death, they got mentioned this. Yeah. You can read if you want to. You know what happened when the four elements disperse. Especially, the first thing is when the earth element collapse and the water element get drained off. Because the consciousness that is still inside don't understand. No? Because when it's no longer connected, when it has this, what they call, ability to be free, where the craving force that binds the consciousness to the body is no more. Because there is no more life force to actually hold on to it, then it's released. Then it will be very sensitive. You know? That's why they say your consciousness at the moment of death is magnified 10 times. There is some truth in that. But what happens is you become so sensitive and you don't understand because you are deluded. When the four elements break down, that awareness inside there, that consciousness, it will experience like, oh, quick, no. Understand? No? That's why when your karma is no good, that's why you are born out of your karma, heir to your karma condition, but you are what you are because of karma. So, at the death moment, that's why they say, before you really die, they say a lot of things manifest. The person who about to die don't understand what is going on. They simply say things. You have heard a lot of these stories that Lao Han Xiang. They say they see ghosts, they see one, they see non-human, then they shout, they freak. It's because a lot of these things is happening. Then all your coming accumulation, according to the Mahayana teaching and some Tibetan teaching based on the Book of Death. But that is only one small part of what they explain. The real thing is very complicated, but it's karma. Then they say depend on your good and bad karma. If you have a lot of negative karma, then this negative karma will manifest. Then it will come and haunt you. That's why it will condition your next rebirth. You got no power over it. You cannot say, oh, I must learn how to die. Just before I die, they say the last thought moment, if I think of virtuous thing, or good thought, good rebirth, you go and try. You hardly aware even in daily life. When you die, you expect to have mindfulness and awareness. You are there, you. They got this problem. Don't try to build a toilet when you are already having the stomach ache. You cannot build in time, understand? Don't take that touch. I forget all those stories. Even the Tibetan had this type of practice. they say the best window to be enlightened is before you die. And they practice that, and they guide them. There are people who believe in that. It's up to them. But for me, don't fight law of karma. But if you have heedfulness, mindfulness, I can guarantee you, you will know how to die. And you will not have fear. And you will know what that thing is. And you will know nothing die. That's why it's possible to go into cessation, nibbana. Provided you have wisdom, understanding, and you know this five aggregate of form and mind. They are not real. They are empty. Just like Heart Sutta, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. When Kuan Yin illuminated of High Skanda, he realized that they are all empty. Not real. So because of that, if you have that type of stability of mindfulness, you will know how to die. Because I went through that phase when I was very young, even before I know how to meditate. I saw my own craving force dissipate and how the consciousness come out. Yeah. And all this is very easy to understand when you know how to develop the meditation to understand them. So the four elements, don't be like gullible to what people tell you or what the books say. Find out for yourself. If I do this type of meditation, what does it mean? How do I develop wisdom? Check the sutta and investigate. Don't even believe what the commentator say or what the sutta try to tell you. You have to meditate to develop understanding. The real investigation comes from your silent mind. Then when you investigate, then you realize what the Buddha teaches is totally different. That's why to me the four element is related to the five daily contemplation. When you have the initial wisdom born of sati sampajana daily mindfulness, when you can have ability to silence your mind to insight into the three characteristics of nature. That's why vipassana is to insight into we, which is the three characteristics. When you have that, then only you go and develop mindfulness of the four elements. Then you realize this one go the way of nature. The body has these four elements. No knowing cannot be you. And it goes the way of nature. That's why it has not gone beyond OA, sickness and death. It will transform. It will decay. It will be disease when conditions are not right. Then finally, consciousness will separate. That's why this one is not you. That's why you don't cling, you don't grab, you don't develop sakkayadity, self-delusion. Then when it comes to the 32 part, it's linked to the block card, understand? When the parts come together, it performs a function. And a lot of people don't know. They go and recollect the 32 part, this one, that one, that one, everything. Then they say, they see the, what they call, they say, like, dirty skin bag, full of this dirty thing inside there. But that is what the form is all about. That's why you say you have to maintain, you know, because this is the reality of form. It goes the way of nature. When you do exercise or play game or whatever, sweat, and sweat is part and parcel of this form and mind mechanism to actually what they call detox you, understand, or heat exchange to cool you down. Then as you sweat, you regenerate new cell, understand, and also it will help you to clear the toxin within the cell. So you will draw new liquid as you drink. Then the old one, which could be contaminated or with the whatever toxin or what, it will be like sweated out. That's why your sweat has all this, all the various things, including got some a little bit of salt. Then you will also have what they call gases you release. That's why when you exercise a lot, there's a lot of heat generated, and the gas you release sometimes very smelly. So all these are part and parcel of your bodily exchange to actually clear. Then as you understand the 32 part, of course you have your blood, your urine, your pulse, your mucus and all those things. then they try to explain to you the Mahayana, at least they got one aspect of contemplation. Is it the body actually, if you look at it, it is full of this, what they call possibility of suffering through disease and all those things. Then beneath the skin, there is a lot of ugly part. So to make you not attracted to the physical form, some they teach you skeleton meditation. You look at the skeleton, how pretty the girl, so you look at the skeleton. Or how handsome the man, or so only Hong, you look at the skeleton. Or then you no longer, you like that meditate, how to free. The Buddha never say don't see, or don't go and reflect. Because the reality is when you are confronted with attractive form, the lust can still arise. Or then every time you close your eye, skeleton, skeleton, skeleton. It won't go away. But the mind desire, wow, that form, very nice. So conflict. But the real meditation is not about skeleton and all those things. It's the 32 part. When they come together and they perform a function, then you give it a name, a concept, then it animates into a human being, like the bulokat. When the parts come together, then it becomes something that you can call a human form. That's why the fine degree of form and mind, you must understand what are the conditions behind for its arising. So the four element is very clear. It goes the way of nature, no knowing, not you. You're supposed to contemplate on its ability to grow old, get sick and die. And this is not you. That's why don't worry about this form, getting old, getting sick and die. Develop the wisdom to confront them and to accept that reality. We are not only you. Every living being go through it. If you don't have the wisdom to come to terms with this reality, you attach and cling, you will have problem. You will have affliction because their universal characteristic is there. And it's only element, not you. 32 parts are so same. When the parts come together, you can be deluded by it. As if this is real, this is you. Like the bulokat. Then the Buddha said, take it apart. Then where is the bulokat gone? Put back together. Oh, perform a function. You create a concept for it. Bulokat arise, exists. So this form and mind is the same condition arising. When the part come together, when consciousness come, when life force support, then it animates into a human being. So that is what you need to develop through wisdom. That's why you contemplate the past. How when they come together, this human form is developed. Then like the car, every part together, then it can drive. You can drive it. Then it can perform a function. Then you give it a name. Then when it comes to going beyond the physical appearances, the beauty, this one the Buddha asks you to reflect. Not skeleton. He said 9 stages of cemetery contemplation. No matter how beautiful that form is, like the flower, when you buy fresh for offer, so beautiful, isn't it? Yeah. So what they call fresh, isn't it? And you got so much joy, isn't it? But as you make the offering, the person who maintain it after a few days, go and look at it and clean it out. What do you see? Because flower go the way of nature very fast, ephemeral, doesn't last. Then you see the decay process very fast. But human form take longer time, So you can be deluded by it because this phenomenon lasts so much longer. It go through the childhood, then go into youth, then grow middle age, then only grow old, and finally die. But in between, you can put ICI and maintain it. That's why some 50, 60 can still attract people. So when you don't understand all this, you get attracted by form, But the Buddha said you reflect on the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition, then you develop wisdom. You are not deluded by that form. This form is condition arising. When condition is there, it will be like that, like the flower. You will go through those phases. There will be the youth and the beautiful face, fresh, unless got problem. Then what happened is the Buddha say, whatever that form, how beautiful. When it's devoid of consciousness, means what? When death happened, when consciousness separate, then you look at the form again. It will go the way of nature. Then it becomes like that, no? That every form, no matter how beautiful, when the four elements start to separate, it becomes like that. Then finally you see how the whole thing gone with the wind. The 9 stages. That's why he say when you see and see how it decay, then you know those who get attached to the form are deluded by the condition behind. That's why you cannot see. That's like Mara come in, dance in front of you. End of the day is Mara. So it can lure you and create the evil root and lust in you and desire in you. Then you fall for it. Means you are deluded by it. Understand? So when you reflect clearly, you understand. When there is condition to own and have, that's why they allow you to have one spouse. Understand? And develop contentment. That's why the 5 precepts allow you to have a married life. You don't have to renounce and be a celibate. Oh, 10:30 so fast. So 9 stages of cemetery contemplation is more important. When you reflect clearly, then you know everything is condition arising, not so real. This bring about the final thing that I want to share with you. That book based on the Klang talk I gave, remember, Emptiness? I have finished the editing, it's going to come out soon, and that book is going to make you understand. It's very clear inside there. That talk. How do you see form? The unreality of form. See beyond form. And how you see mind. The unreality of mind. And how you see beyond the thinking mind or mundane mind. Then how you see truth, nature. Then how you understand all this. And why the Buddha say everything is just empty, condition arising, cause of phenomena. As real as can be, it's only within the moment. Split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead and gone. But human beings still deludedly cling and hold and thought life is so real. That's why they can cry and become miserable. And they can sometimes, when things go their way, jump for joy. But when they are gullible, when they are deluded, they will be afflicted. We are finally they grasp and cling to this 5 aggregate of form and mind thinking that is real. That's why you cannot see form, the unreality of this form, and penetrate beyond this 5 aggregate of form and mind to realize that they are all empty, impermanent, leading to suffering. You can never wake up. You will forever be heedless, and you will forever suffer in samsara. That's why that book, once it come out, it will transform your understanding. And it has been spoken in such a clear and easy to understand manner. There is nothing esoteric about the teaching. Can be understood by normal people, normal being. But that is just knowledge. You have to put into cultivation. Then you have to really develop the silent mind to see form, the unreality of form. Why is it not real? Where is condition arising? It's impermanent. And because it's impermanent, it goes the way of nature. You cannot go against nature. You cannot want things your way, otherwise you suffer. That's why the characteristic of impermanent will bring about the characteristic of suffering. When you grasp and cling, not able to accept the reality of nature's law. Then because it's impermanent, lead to suffering. is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can call this is me, this is I. Therefore, this all can be mine. And then when you see this very clearly, you see the non-self nature, the empty nature. Everything is just in a state of flux, coming and going, continuously arising and passing away. Then, as real it can be, is only within the moment, moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? This moment, next moment, split second is there and gone, and that's the only reality, you know. So how real can that be? But you still hold on to all of your life experience. Oh, like everything is so real. Got so much story to write, you know, biography. Then like Hokkien people say, Konga utau ubuya. But everything is just mind-made consciousness, phenomenal images coming and going. But like very real, no? Oh, last time when we were schoolmate or classmate, when we cutting, wow, we do this, we do that. Everything is just mimic, recall through memory. So the reality is all gone, dead and gone. And this moment you don't know how to live, you continue to recall and do this type of heedless thinking. Then life got not much meaning. But at least you recall and make you happy, it's good, and it's better than those who recall the sad thing and become depressed. But that is still living life. But if you understand, you don't have to worry about life, you don't have to recall all this. You can just silent and develop understanding. Then the moment you understand, you use this form and mind with wisdom. Then you liberate, and you can do what you want. But this form and mind is not you. But karmically conditioned how for you to use, to live life, to experience all of the be. And then use it. And then that using is no more you, like that, like that, like that, you, like that, like that. No more. It's my vehicle, my tool. I use. It once was like that. So when you understand this, then life takes a turn, become very different. It's not you anymore. It's how this form and mind go through life, how you experience life. And develop all the understanding of life and live, truly live, no more suffering, no more problem, no more have to worry about life. Okay? I think we better end. I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So wait for the book to come out. The last I checked through was 31 pages. I think we may need to change the font and make it longer. You have to help me to check. I think this font is big enough. Suitable for you to read. Suitable. This one. Last time one was a bit small. This one is 55 page. 55 pages. So minimum 55. So just whatever it is. What about this font? You all like it? Then we follow this one. This time on that emptiness is actually meant to be. When I was giving the clang talk, the forces start try to stop the talk, disrupt the talk. It's all written inside there. And it's meant to be. Because they also know if this talk comes about and come out in a transcript, a lot of cultivators will understand very clearly. It's not difficult. But it's not easy to put into words. And I cannot write. I can only speak, then you transcribe. Because it's not from memory anymore. It needs condition to come out. That's like Dhamma, straight from the heart. Not from memory, prepare and write on, cannot. It has to have the condition. Then it can, of course, help to develop the understanding. So hopefully, I just sent it out today. Hopefully by July, you should receive your copy end of July. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Transfer. Oh, so fast. I hope that clock is fast. It's not fast. Oh yeah, exceeded 10 minutes. Just now I look at it, it was 10:30, now 10:40. Sorry. We will do the sharing of merits. Sharing of merits with the devas. Okay, recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the last 2 hours plus. All of the merits that you all have developed. So we will share and transfer all these merits with all beings. Share your merits with the devas. Akasatta Chabumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Hitta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one and those who can receive them. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to all departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Deo asatukalena sasa sampati hito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler, be righteous. Now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa ivana patiya. By the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end. We should rejoice in the wholesomeness of all those who can be here and develop the Dhamma sharing And all this wholesomeness, actually, one day you will understand, they are beyond what you can imagine. They are very, very special and very wholesome. But you must have the faith, you must have that understanding. When the faith is there, the sincerity is there, you progress very fast. And all this can bring about great benefits, not only to you, your cultivation, but to all your loved ones and those who have affinity with you. Where this type of Dhamma is difficult to come by, and this type of condition is very difficult to receive and to partake in all this wholesomeness, even one session, 2 or 4 hours. It can make a big difference to your life if you know how to make use of it. So we rejoice with all the wholesomeness of everyone. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Even the Buddha Rupang also now different. Very different. Okay.